Tonight we're going to be starting, as you've already heard, the first session of a six-part on prayer. And I've been really excited about going through this for personally and for just for other reasons. But it's something that is so important. And it's amazing. I went through study looking at different prayers in the Bible. I want to include that one. But I've got to leave some to the others, so I'll just concentrate tonight on the ones I've got in the Lord's Prayer. We are going to go through, so this 6 weeks. We're going to go, and excuse me if I spit on anybody, the purpose of prayer, the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, the principles and practice of prayer, and persistent prayer, and the priority of prayer. Got that one right. But tonight, obviously, we're going to cover the purpose of prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you that we have the ability, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, to be able to talk to you directly. You are our God, and Lord, we're so grateful for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just fill us with your Spirit, enable us to hear you, Lord, understand you, Lord, and to be able to pray to you, Lord, freely. And Lord, we thank you for that freedom. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can pray to you, Lord, and we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to cover a few things. What is prayer? I know we're going for the purpose of prayer, but this is sort of tied to that. It's four things. What is prayer? The first mention of prayer. Why God wants us to pray. And can it help? Which I think is sort of some obvious sort of answers to those questions. But we're going to go through those anyway. Just give you a few facts. There's over approximately 650 prayers listed in the Bible. That'll keep you going for this week if you want to catch up for the next few. And some 450 recorded answers to prayer in the Bible. We read Jesus praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry. And we hear Paul in his letters talk about prayers, prayer reports, prayer requests, exhortations to prayer, some 41 times. And although prayer can be done in any bodily position, the part of Bible lists five specific ones: sitting, standing, kneeling, with one's face to the ground, and with hands lifted up. So do feel free to do any of those things while we're praying tonight. Jesus talks, as we're going to go through tonight, the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. And he provides five areas of focus: that God's name will be honoured, the focus on his everlasting glory, God's kingdom come, a focus on his eternal will, and that God's provision is given, and the focus on the present. We also be looking at four different reasons, four types of prayer, but there are more sort of listed. And you probably can incorporate these ones, these nine, within those four, if we just narrow it down a little bit. We have a prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of request, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of worship, prayer of consecration, prayer of intercession, prayer of imprecation, and a prayer praying in the Spirit. Just to say about that imprecation prayer, or it's precatory prayer, as I've heard it in the past, which is an interesting one. I don't know if we'll be covering that in any of the sessions. Just to give you an idea, a precatory prayer is when you're praying against somebody. And David did that. We see that in Psalm 69. I've not got it on the screen. Let me just read a little bit of it. Let their tables become a snare before them, let their well be being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them. Let your wrath, anger, take hold of them. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents, for they persecuted the ones that you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. We have that in Psalm 69. It's quite harsh. You sort of think, oh, I don't think I could pray that prayer to anybody. It is a legit prayer, but we have to be deadly serious if we're going to be using prayers like that and know honestly what we're praying for and who we're praying for if we're praying something like that. We're told to pray in love, and we need to be sure of what we're doing. Obviously, David was extremely under pressure here with forces and armies against them, and this is why he prayed the prayer that he did. The purpose of prayer can, like I say, be summarized to these four purposes: adoration, thanksgiving, repentance, and petition. Petition being making our requests known to God. Like I said, I've been really excited to sort of look at this topic, my personal prayer life, and I know there's something that I really need to get better at. And I know that sounds strange, but I've had times in the past of such great prayer, and the stresses and, it's no excuse, but the stresses and strains and the urgency of life and the things going on, it always seems to be an afterthought. And it's something that we need to put forefront of our lives. Prayer is communion with God. It's how we build a relationship with him. If I was to ask the question, you don't have to put your hands up. Of those who here who had answer to prayer at some time in their life, I'd expect everybody to put their hand up. And I also think if I asked who's waiting for an answer to prayer, everybody would probably put their hand up. And if I asked who would like to be able to pray more, I'd expect everybody to put their hand up. It's something within our lives and in our relationship with the Lord that we want to see grow. Prayer is a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God. When I was a new Christian, I was quite excitable about the fact that I was a new Christian, wanted to tell a few people, but I had this picture in my head of me walking along a path, and God was all around me. He was in front of me, he was behind me, nudging me gently. He was on my left hand and on my right hand. He was holding my hands, and I felt so close to God that I think that's how that when we pray, we should picture God. He's all encompassing. He's here. He is in heaven, but when we talk to him, he's here. He's right in front of us. He's looking after us. We have an amazing God, creator of the universe. Knows the end from the beginning. All powerful, yet he reaches down to us on a personal level and wants a relationship with us. Prayer is paramount for us to grow in God. And it's not just talking, but it's listening. It's been said many times before, but we have a parable on our head, two ears, one mouth. We should be listening as well as speaking, as well as asking. We shouldn't be worried if we have silent moments in prayer, for sometimes they're the most important, and God can actually reach us and talk to us. If we're trying to squeeze prayer into our lives, then we won't have time to listen. We'll be putting our requests, give him the list, and then run to work. So we have to give him valued time where we can put it as a prime importance for our life, just to sit down quietly in some room without distractions and spend time in prayer and listening to what God has to say. Just a quote from Billy Graham here: true prayer is a way of life, not just a use in cases of emergency. Make it a habit, and when the need arises, you'll be in practice. Prayer is often an afterthought. But really, if we had a healthy prayer life, maybe we wouldn't get into so many problems. God can talk to us in many ways, audibly, through his word, through his spirit that dwells in us, and sometimes through other people when we choose not to listen to him. He gets our attention one way or another. When we don't quite know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. He gets the words out when we're not sure how to pray for something. See in Romans here, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I love that. The will of God, when we can't pray, the Spirit that dwells in us prays for us. It's a wonderful thing. You know, God wants us to pray, yet when we can't, he's made his Holy Spirit able to pray for us. That's not an excuse not to pray ourselves. We have a duty of service to pray for each other and ourselves. As I say, the Bible is full of help with numerous prayers and answers to prayer that we can look through and see, you know, if something's, for instance, like a prayer that we're praying, we can see how God answered those prayers. God makes it very clear through his word how important prayer is. Just read from 1 Samuel here. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. But if you do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Samuel here thought it was a sin not to pray for them. That's concerning, isn't it? A sin not to pray for each other. Like I say, God makes it very clear through his word how important prayer is. Just to mention a few, 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Romans 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. James 5, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Only a few out of hundreds. But it's a big point all through Scripture how we should do it, how we should pray. Time and time again, we are told to pray. And there are many prayers in the Bible. The first mention of prayer, when I was looking, I thought, we always see these first mentions of subjects. Usually there is something we can see and another little treasure that we can find. But you have to be careful. When I looked at the King James and typed in prayer, it came up with 300 times. New King James, it came up with 100. And I thought, that doesn't make sense. How come it says to praise a little? But obviously there's more words for prayer in the King James. In the Old English, we have this prayer, the Hebrews, nor, as you can see up on the screen. But that's meaning, I beseech you, or I ask you. So it's not so, if I say, pray tell, it's not obviously a prayer to God, but it's on the horizontal, it's talking to each other. Not to God. And that's actually in Genesis 12, where we find that in the first time. So the prayer that we want is Paulal. I think that's pronounced right. You can correct me later if not. But that means obviously to intercede prayer, entreat, make prayer and supplication. And we see that first in Genesis 20. It says, now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all yours. But this isn't the first time that man talked to God. We need to go back to the Garden of Eden. Not so long ago, Sim took us through this, but we're just going to rest on it for a little while longer. after we hear after the fall, we see this first communication with God. And it's where I say communication, obviously Adam named the animals before this, but it doesn't say God told him to name the animals. And we have this first, in a sense, conversation from man and God. It might have happened before, but that's what we've got in our records in the Bible. So this time, the first communication was after the fall, after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this first comment that God has for Adam is, "Where are you?" We see that in, say, Genesis 3, we just read, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees in the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" This is so prominent for us. This is sometimes why we're so reluctant to pray. When we know where we've gone wrong somewhere, we try and hide and hope that God hasn't seen our mistake. But God knows. He knows all the answers to these questions that he's asking Adam and Eve. We see here God starts the conversation with Adam. Carrying on in Genesis 3. "So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So our second question, who told you you're naked? God knew the answers. But he still needed man to admit to what they'd done. For their benefit. As they were just going through this, they had the full realization of what they had done. Adam still answers and doesn't blame Eve for giving him of the fruit, but he places the blame back to God. "The woman you gave me the fruit." And likewise, when Eve was asked, "What have you done?" she blamed the serpent, the animals that God had placed in the garden. We need to heed this warning as well. There are many voices shouting at us all the time. Turn on the TV and listen to the commercials, and a quiet voice shouting are constantly saying to us, "You need this. You don't have this. You're deprived. You need this luxury cruise to the Caribbean because you deserve it. Somebody keeping it from you. And if you could overcome the obstacles that have been thrown in your way, perhaps some unmeaning persons, you can gain what you now lack, and you have the happiness that you've been looking for." It comes all the time. We're pounded with that every day. We hear the voices and ignore God. We hear the voices that say to us, "You're naked, you don't have anything, you've been cheated. If only you had this, you would find what you've been looking for." So if God knew the answers to these questions, why ask them? And it was for Adam and Eve's benefit. It gives them conviction of what they had done, and it's for our benefit. It made them think, and it made us think where we are now. Who are we listening to if not God? What have we done? Are we getting closer to the Lord, or is he becoming distant to us? Is the route that we're on the right one, or have we been fighting God the whole time? Are we blaming all the wrong people other than ourselves? Even blaming God most of the time, maybe not indirectly, but surely that's what we are thinking, step down. Why is God doing this to me? Why does God want us to pray? Read Luke here. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray. Always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And stand before the Son of Man. God wants us to pray so we can hear his direction and get his help. He knows what we're going through. He knows our prayers before we ask them, before we're even born. He sees into our hearts and sees whether our words and our prayers correspond with our hearts. When we stop and pray, we're saying, okay, God, it's out of my hands. It's in yours. I'm not the ruler of my life. You are. I need you. I need your help. And if we keep we are saying, I've got this. If we keep quiet, we're saying, I've got this. I don't need you. The Lord taught the disciples to pray when they asked him how to pray. And the first thing he does, he says how not to pray. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Praying for the people to see may be prayers that are addressed to people instead of God. I've been guilty of that. What I think people want to hear rather than what I think God wants to say. Sometimes we get nervous. We don't want to be the only one that doesn't pray. And then we start directing prayers to other people around us, like we are teaching. But we should just say what's on our heart in plain words, directly to God. Just like Adam talked to God in the garden. Plain words, plain conversation. He wants us, our real hearts and our real conversation, not something we're trying to formulate just to make it sound like a good prayer. It can be the simplest prayer and the shortest prayer. But it's what we want to say. But when you pray, you go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. They think they will be heard for their many words. And this doesn't mean that we can't pray together in groups. We see the disciples praying together with Jesus. And this is more saying that we shouldn't be praying our prayers to be seen by others. It also helps when there is no distractions, so it's helpful to be alone in your closet or your room to pray to the Lord. Probably somewhere where there isn't a radio or a TV playing. Jesus frequently went alone to pray out of the way. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need for before you ask him. So in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, our Father. We are very privileged to be able to call God Father. It shows a kind of relationship, that intimacy that he wants, that personalness. In the Old Testament, it was very unusual to address God as Father, as it was seen intimate. But Jesus shows how we are family now. Our prayers should show a desire for this earth to be like heaven, We've heard about heaven, what it's going to be like. And we should be praying for that here. That's God's desire, what he wants it to be like. In heaven there is no disobedience, no obstacles to God's will. But on earth there is disobedience, and at least apparent obstacles to his will. The citizens of Jesus' kingdom will want to see his will done freely on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayers should be in line with the will of God. He does know best, and we shouldn't pray for anything that would not be in his will. We need to think about our prayers. Think about what we're asking for. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The right kind of prayer will freely bring its own needs to God. This will include needs for daily provision. It's not weekly provision. Daily, each day, God provides what we need. Forgiveness and strength in the face of temptation. The prayer is for our needs, not our greeds. It is the one day at a time, reflecting the precarious lifestyles of this first century people that used to get paid daily, and if they didn't work, they were in trouble. And sin is represented here under the notion of debt, our sins. Our sins are many, and they're called debts. God made man that he might live to his glory and gave him the law to walk by. And if when he does anything that tends not to glorify God, he contracts a debt with divine justice. Temptation we have here, lead us not into temptation, literally means a test. It's not always a solicitation to do evil. God has promised to keep us from any testing that is greater than what we can handle. We see that in Corinthians. If we truly pray, lead us not into temptation, it will be lived out in several ways. You will never boast in your own strength. Never desire trials. Never go into temptation, and never lead others into temptation. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. A reminder that it's all God's, and all the power is his, and all the glory should go to him. When we say amen, we're in agreement with what's being said. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is demonstrated by Jesus. And there's nothing anyone can do to us that we shouldn't forgive. Jesus has forgiven everything on the cross. Then who are we to actually hold something against somebody? Every sin that we do, Jesus went to the cross for. Every sin we've done, Jesus went to the cross for. He's paid it. So we should forgive those who have trespassed against us, who've sinned against us. Can prayer help? Is breathing important? We have such a loving Father that wants communion with us. To not pray would be like not breathing. I have seen God's answer to prayer on many occasions. And it's exciting when we see God move. It helps our faith. It gives us courage. It's really encouraging in our walk. Not to say that some things don't get answered. Well, not yet. Some things we have to wait for. Some things we see happen immediately. And it truly is exciting to watch God move. And if you're still waiting for an answer to prayer, please continue in that prayer. Maybe ask God to show you through his word the help that you need and desire, and wait for God to move. I think that all of us, when we pray, we have such an opportunity to be close to the Lord in conversation. I truly believe that as a church, we'll just see amazing things happen when we come together in prayer. We need to believe what we're praying. We need to understand that God can still do all those things that he's done in the past. He hasn't changed. It's the same today as yesterday. And we see some really amazing things. As I was going through the prayers, just seeing how God moved instantly in opening people's eyes, fighting battles, coming to the rescue of people without any problems whatsoever. He doesn't have to work at it. He's God. And like I say, he's the same today. And I think I certainly need to spend more time in speaking to him, finding out about him, spending time in his word, and just seeing what he has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're God, God Almighty, God of Abraham, of Isaac, Jacob. And Lord, we want to have better communion with you, Lord. We want to have better times of prayer with you. And Lord, we just thank you that although you're so mighty and so big, that you have time to talk to us one-to-one, Lord. You're not only there to hear our prayer, but you speak to us. And Lord, the Spirit that you've blessed us with communicates with you. Lord, we are so blessed. And Lord, we give you thanks and all the glory for all the things that you do for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just reach this church, Lord. Reach each and every person here and online, Lord, individually, Lord. And Lord, hear their prayers. Hear their prayers to you for the things that they need. Hear their prayers of thanksgiving and adoration. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you're just moving us in a mighty way. Help us to rely on you, not ourselves, our own strengths. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just constantly remind us of this. Come to you in the morning, in the day, in the night. Bring before you our life, all the pitfalls. And Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.